You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio, the number one radio station. In fact, we've got the number one position on Google's with this show and with many, many other shows. Welcome to America's Web Radio. The Dan and Dave Show is on the air, and we've got Mr. Left Coast himself sitting out there, and I think he's there's only one way to put it, and this is very honorable, and I know that Dan's a patriot, and I think him putting a big red cross on his house as a target for Kim Jong-un, the fat little slob dictator in North Korea. I think that's above and beyond the call of duty, Dan.
Well, I thank you, Dave, and I appreciate your honest emotion and your concern for me and my neighborhood, my neighbors. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they got to shoot somewhere, you know, and I think you putting a target on you, I think, and then that little face under it saying, nah, 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 you know, heck, they had their rocket blow up. Don't you know that?
Yeah, they tried to shoot one off. Maybe that was headed this way. Who knows?
Yeah, I think the Kim Jong-un, I think he had to be embarrassed in that he failed. Don't you know that some general got his head examined with a 9mm bullet after that fail? It was such a big deal because they were celebrating the 105th whatever of his grandfather taking over North Korea and all this kind of stuff. And then their missile failed. Big firecracker.
Hey, that can happen to anyone. I'm glad it happened to him.
Yeah, well, you know, I wish him the worst of luck in everything that he does. He is a pig. And he needs, you know, if you're really a patriot, Dan, what you ought to do is send him an email and offer to take him to your hairstylist. He's a little out of date with the bowl hairstyle. I believe you could make him look a lot better if you took him to your hairstylist.
You haven't seen my new hairstyle. It's very much like the guy that you're talking about,
Kim Jong-un, whatever his name. It's like dung, but it's ung. So yeah. You've got a bowl haircut, huh?
Well, I call his the Korean flop, or the North Korean flop, I guess. I don't want to confuse it with the good people of South Korea.
So where do you think this is all going?
I tell you, the U.S. is really posturing up. Our vice president was over in South Korea, apparently, on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Still there, I think, or has left for Australia. He's gonna be touring that area, going to Australia, Hawaii. I think it's just one big vacation for him.
And the Secretary of State said that the Obama era of strategic patience was over. And he said that the last 20 years of negotiating with Kim Jong-un was a failure.
That's sort of an understatement, isn't it?
I think it's an understatement, yeah. Yeah, we haven't gotten anywhere. I think we're posturing up for something, and we'll see.
You know,
it'll tell a lot about Trump's attitude and his national policy, I think, international policy, to see how quickly he strikes and how devastating that strike is. It's a whole different thing to take out a country. instead of just an airfield. You know.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he's going to try to take out North Korea in total. I think he would take out anything that has to do with their nuclear program, from missiles to reactors and all that kind of stuff. But
I don't think he can go in and do that. I think they would launch everything they have at South Korea and Japan.
Well, anything. Well, my feeling is they wouldn't get too far with it. I think he could be devastating enough that if they tried some. I don't know. I'm speculating, and I'm far be it from me to even speculate. I have no inside information about anything, so. He's a problem. You know, we obviously, as a country, have a number of situations from the Middle East. Now, you take the Middle East, and you're working with a bunch of nuts over there as well, but they understand one thing, and they understood the Moab that we laid on, the egg that we laid on their area, their caves in Afghanistan. They understand one thing, and that's who's got the biggest sword to fight with, and they realize that the United States has a bigger sword than most everybody else. So, you know, they understand it. And I'll be the first to say that I think Iran and their leadership is nuttier than a fruitcake, but they're realist. Whereas Kim Jong-un in North Korea, he's a kid that lives in a different world and thinks that I got one missile with an atomic warhead on it, and I'm as big as the United States, and he's delusional, and he's scary because I don't think he understands that if he even tries to launch something that it getting out of the North Korean air zone will be pretty difficult to do, and that he is surrounded by Patriot missiles, and they're not there to let him attack anybody, be it South Korea, be it the United States, be it Japan, Australia. They're there to do one thing, and that's shoot down anything that comes out of North Korea. Give them the order, and they will do it. So,
well, and I noticed that the Japanese fleet is joining our carrier group.
The Vinson group?
Japanese destroyers are planning to rendezvous with Carl Vinson. Shortly, I guess. I don't think they've rendezvoused, whatever that word is, yet, but they're headed that way.
I wonder which captain speaks Japanese or English, or if they have to have a number of interpreters interpreting and talking quickly. But, you know, I have obviously no respect whatsoever for Ong, and I guess, like I said earlier, I think what I would like to see is someone in North Korea put the boy out of his misery one way or the other. And ultimately, I think the best thing that could happen to the Korean Peninsula would be to reunite with and have one Korea, and I would like to see that. That would be if it were as successful as the reuniting of East and West Germany, then it would be quite a plus.
I'm not sure China would want to see that. However, I think China enjoys the buffer that North Korean gives. But, I think this is I think this is as big a Chinese problem as it is an American problem. And the Chinese may just choose to solve the problem their way before we have to intervene. It'll be interesting. Someone said that Kim Jong-un had gone into hiding. I don't know if you've heard that story.
I'd heard it, but I just heard it once and didn't ever hear a follow-up to the story. And I guess he didn't because he was there at the celebration a couple of days ago and then was there when the rocket exploded in his face, the launch. The one thing I did hear about China is that they've put 150,000 soldiers on the Korean border.
Yeah.
And the reason being is that they didn't want a flood of, I guess they felt like the U.S. was about to do something and they would have a lot of refugees coming into China and they didn't want them. They were going to turn them away. That's their immigration problem, I guess, or solution, depending on how you look at it. But it's a sticky wicket, and I don't profess to be knowledgeable other than what I see on the news like any and everybody else, and certainly, my only solution would be reuniting the Koreas at some point. But I would like to see someone on the inner circle of North Korea take out Ung and, just my thoughts. No one cares, but they're my thoughts.
A tidbit of information for you. You said that those 150 Chinese troops had gone to the border.
150,000.
So the border is 880 miles long. That separates North Korea and China. You might put that in your fact box. I know you keep a fact box there on your desk.
Yeah, that's the box of candy. You did say fat, right? F-A-T?
Fat box. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's
my... I know you don't use facts. I've listened to your what you say. And
no, but the Dan and Dave show are number one on Google, right?
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to Google the Dan and Dave show right now, and let's get a Monday morning update. Let's see, the Dan and...
Other than an update, I'd much rather have a nap than an update.
Well, we could do that. Here it is, number one and number two. Uh-oh.
Did somebody sneak in the third spot?
Somebody did.
How rude.
Here's something on YouTube. Is that our Dan and Dave that we know and love? Or no. It's a different Dan and Dave. Oh, no. Oh, this is bad. But we are number one and number two. So, that gives me some comfort. And, be putting in that in my demand for more pay. I mean my request for more pay.
Did I hear you say demand?
No, I meant request. I gotta check this number two list. Oh no. We're not even number two. That's the other. The other Dan and Dave show is from Sydney, Australia. I guess we shouldn't promote them, should we?
No. They might be better than we are. Well, I tell you what, you have pushed us to this point. We're going to have to stop right here, right in our tracks on the Dan and Dave Show, and do a commercial. We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show. This is the American version. Make America great again, listen to Dan and Dave. Not the Australian version, which is obviously down under.
Hey, mates, we're authentic.
Hey?
Oh, Monday morning came too early, I think. What'd you do this weekend, Dave?
What did I do this weekend? Saturday's sort of a blur. I don't remember doing anything. We had my son and his wife over for brunch yesterday, and I did my infamous grilling. I did bacon on the grill, eggs on the grill, and then he and I worked on my brand-new chipper that I've used once, and we couldn't get it started. And he's having some people come over and pick it up, and I don't know. I'm very disappointed that the stupid thing wouldn't start.
Did you spray some go juice on the
carburetor? Oh, yes, many times. It would try starting when we'd spray the stuff in, but it would last, you know, a few seconds and then die. And I've used the stupid thing one time, and we had my trailer all hooked up to his pickup, and gonna put the shredder chipper on it, and let's try it. And the last time I used it a year ago, it worked just fine. But I don't know if gas has gotten to it as well as it gets to everything else. So I don't know. We drained the gas, put clean new gas in it. Still didn't help it. So
you were loaning it to your son?
Yes.
But you never learn, do you?
Nope. So nope. It's still at my house, as is my trailer and all of the rest.
Mm.
But such is life. So that, I tell you what, that did do. I was down on my knees on my driveway, and last night the pain was just incredible. From being on my knees and crawling around on my knees, working on the stupid chipper and trying to get it going, and like you said, spraying it with the go juice and all that, and this old age stuff, is really, I'm not liking it a whole lot.
Well, I do have an alternative for you.
Yep. And it only hurts for a little while.
It only hurts just for that. Flesh. Yeah, we're not supposed to talk about that kind of stuff on the radio, and we don't want any of our listeners contemplating anything that might construe an early termination of life, because we value life.
That's true.
That's true.
But I don't value arthritis. Arthritis really sucks.
Yeah, arthritis can go bye-bye.
Don't care who knows it. It really does suck.
I went to the health club on Saturday, and the first guy I bumped into had a shoulder replacement about 3 months ago or 4 months ago, so I chatted with him because I've had a shoulder replacement. And he said, oh, by the way, he just had his second shoulder done. So he's got two shoulder replacements.
And I bet you did you challenge him to lifting weights and say, look, I bet I can outlift you?
In the next room I walked into, the guy was just recovering from hip surgery, hip replacement. I got dressed and left. I thought, get me out of here.
Your old club sounds like it's a replacement center. Okay, now, I know for a fact that hip replacement, which used to be major, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in the hospital afterwards. Today, in Atlanta, Georgia, it's an outpatient surgery. Is shoulder replacement an outpatient surgery?
No.
Why not?
No, I think shoulder's the worst of the lot. The hip replacement guy said he had his surgery in the morning, and in the afternoon he was up walking around.
Yeah, and probably walked out of the facility and went home.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, shoulder is a very complicated joint. And, you know, it's a ball and joint, or a ball and socket, but the ball is very shallow. And so it really complicates range of motion issues and a whole bunch of things, and it's a very painful surgery. That being said,
your surgery didn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, it didn't hurt, did it?
No, I never felt a thing.
Yeah, well, I've got a second shoulder that, I'd have to think long and hard before I did another replacement, but it's talking to me.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad to know you have two shoulders.
I got two shoulders. Yep. Two shoulders. And a funny haircut.
A bowl. Well, no matter what it is, surgery of any kind, I'm always sorry to hear somebody has to have it, be it shoulder, hip, knee replacement, whatever. And I don't look forward to, if I ever have to have that, that's not something that I look forward to. But I don't know if knee replacement, if it's like the hip replacement where you're up and going. It wasn't in my mother's case many years ago, so I just don't know. I'm sure they've improved.
Dave, I don't know. I think they try to get you up and around pretty quick. Same day, I'm not sure. It might be.
Yeah.
It might be.
Well, it's always interesting in the technology. How do you feel about the opioids that, it's taking the country, and the president has started a committee on trying to find an answer to the addiction and the problems, and they're not localized. I am very interested, or interest is not maybe the right word, but, you know, I respect the fact that many, many, many doctors are stepping up to the plate and saying, this problem is our problem because we over-prescribed a number of products that have turned out to be very addictive.
Yeah, you know, the philosophy has been with medical people that they don't want their patients to have pain. And so they've always, for a long time, they've medicated pain away. And I think maybe we're finding that that's not the solution. But there is a major outbreak of opioid addiction.
Oh, yeah. It's,
I had always heard that if you were in pain, morphine would not be addictive. But if you take morphine, you know, as recreationally, it becomes addictive. And they've done a lot of research about pain centers in your brain, and I think they can temporarily deaden that pain center instead of giving you a shot, or, you know, they can go in and touch that pain center with maybe a light laser or a needle even, and you know, stop it from registering pain.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine whose son has tremendous backaches, and that's what they did. They went in to his pain center, located it, and anesthetized it, and he says it's about 80% better.
Hmm. We had the head of the emergency room at one of our hospitals on Friday, and I've got to give kudos to Bernie Marcus. Do you know that name?
I do.
He was one of the founders of Home Depot, and obviously has made a bajillion dollars, and unlike his partner that I think has every penny he ever made, except for owning the Falcons. But Bernie Marcus has been extremely charitable. I mean, incredibly charitable. And it's come back to reward him in many, many cases. But he put up the funding for, and we have a local hospital here. It's the, how can I say it? It's sort of the charity hospital, but it has probably one of, if not the best trauma centers, emergency room centers, just, you know, you it's not your hospital of choice unless, and the unless is like if you're in a traumatic situation, a trauma, and in need of a trauma center. Anyway, Bernie Marcus paid for the equipment, the training, and all that goes with it, and it's now the at Grady Hospital. It's the Bernie Marcus Stroke, I don't know, Foundation or Stroke portion of the hospital. And supposedly, well, not supposedly, but if you are having a stroke or have had or within the first 3 hours of a stroke, the place you want to go is where all the rest of the people go, and that's to Grady, and they literally have the equipment now that they can go in, see where your stroke is in your brain, and then literally, if it's a blockage, literally go in as a catheterization and remove that blockage. And the results, this doctor was telling us, he's seen it a couple of times, the results is just absolutely fantastic. You can have a person having a stroke, losing feeling, losing this, losing that, or whatever, and they go in, they pull the blockage out of that artery or vein, and, you know, in seconds, the person is back to normal. And it's just it's an incredible procedure and something that, you know, I guess I would assume is rather costly for the equipment or whatever, but eventually we'll see in other hospitals. With that being said, we got to take a break. We'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show, the East Coast and the West Coast. You know,
the number one show in America.
The number one Dan and Dave Show in America. You're right. You know, I just marvel sometimes. I know you kid me about it, and my wife kids me about it. Everybody kids me about it, except for your sister, and she doesn't kid me about it because she likes the fact that, or we like old westerns, you know, and I get very nostalgic. I you know, some of them I even remember from when I was a kid, but or an episode of Rawhide or an episode of this or that I may remember from being a kid. But, you know, there's something about, like, Wagon Train. I love that show. And I just, you know, you look at what they... And obviously, it was a show, period. But just to think of our forefathers, the people that settled the West, that what they went through. And I as I'm watching one of these shows, and I, you know, fictitious shows or whatever, but I watch them and I think, I wonder if I could have made that. I wonder if I could have walked that 3,000 miles or. Or I think a lot of them left from St. Louis, so it would have been, I don't know, 1,500 miles. I don't know what the distance would. A long ways, more than I want to walk. And the storms and the this and the that and the Indians and, you know, everything about it. What a history we have, and it's not like it was. Yes, it's for in history it's yesterday. In reality, it was 200 years ago. But still, that's no time in history. And to have come as far as we have, and our relatives to have made it from Boston to L.A. or Boston to Portland or wherever is just incredible to me.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty tough old people.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking through a family album, and I was looking at my grandfather's grandfather's father's picture. And he looked like a tough old guy. And it amazes me that it seemed like every photograph of people of that era they had on their bow tie or, you know, and suit jacket. The women were all dressed fancy, and, you know, what are three generations after us going to think when they look back at us and see how we dressed and presented ourselves? You know, it's going to be a joke.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, it's, I won't mention, well, I can remember that if you dressed up to go to the doctor's office, you didn't wear your Levi's and a shirt hanging out. Even if you were sicker than a dog, you wanted to look good. Back then, too, I never went to a doctor that didn't have his shirt and tie on, you know? Now they greet you with an open collar and, you know, like it's casual Friday or something. And I, you know, society has changed so much. And like you said, a picture today compared to the 1960s even is a whole different thing. And I don't know that it's, I wouldn't judge whether it's right or wrong. I you know, a good doctor can treat you in short sleeves just as well as he can in a coat and tie and a smock, you know. So I don't know. I don't have the answer. I think one of the, now this is talking about something off the cuff, but there was a time that people would have probably pointed and laughed, but I think it makes the most sense in the world is that you go to an auto mechanic now, not all, but most, wear rubber gloves as they're working on your car. And I think that, and, you know, they keep their hands clean. It's not, you know, we had a good friend, family friend, that no matter how much he soaked his hands and washed his hands and, you know, you knew he wasn't dirty, but he just couldn't get all of the grease and grime and stuff from being an auto mechanic out of his hands by Sunday. You know, no matter what he did, brushed them, scrubbed them, you know. But today, you go to a mechanic and they're wearing rubber gloves to work on your car.
Yeah.
Which I think's cool.
You like that, huh?
I guess. I mean, you know, makes sense.
Yeah, I know my dad did a lot of dirty work, mechanic work on the farm, and his hands would get dried out and all cracked, and, you know, the grease and everything would get down in those cracks, and pretty hard to get out, like you say.
Oh, yeah. Hard to impossible, and no matter how much you scrubbed on them or soaked them, it was still there.
It was still there.
But
yeah, that made me think of something, but that was a minute ago, and now it's a minute later, and I can't remember what I thought of then.
I think I'm pretty sure there's a term for that, and a condition for what you just described.
No.
What day of the week is it, Dan?
This is kind of off the cuff, too. My daughter was over last night, and she works at a pharmaceutical where they do research, I guess. I'll call it pharmaceutical research for lack of a better term. But
well, that's their R&D.
One of her patients is an Alzheimer's patient, and he's a composer, pianist and composer. Well, he's an early Alzheimer's onset, and all of his music is in his head. He never wrote down the music.
Wow.
So he knows that he's losing that now, and she told us the most beautiful story of how he and his wife have recreated the music.
Wow.
With family help and the help of a very accomplished pianist. Beautiful story. Beautiful story. I wouldn't be surprised to see that in book form or movie form. It's just an incredible, tear-jerking, you know, transformation of this guy's life from being vibrant and present and talented to, you know, losing himself.
I guess we all certainly stand the chance of dementia or Alzheimer's, to know you're going there, and to have those thoughts captured in your mind, blessed that he's able to pass them on and get them out of his head and onto paper or whatever. That is an incredible story.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever, they've come a long, long way in cancer. Not that they know, by any means do they know everything, but do you think they'll come up with an answer to Alzheimer's or to dementia? Or is that just going to be an aging
certainly.
Problem?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
So you take a pill and you get your memory back?
I don't think you'll ever, I don't know. I don't know what it'll look like. I don't think you'll lose your memory. I think they'll be proactive and, you know, you'll be monitored. And when they see that plaque buildup or whatever it is, they'll take action. And so you won't have to go there. You won't have to suffer memory loss. I don't know. I think medical science is increasing its capacity at an amazing rate.
Now, who are you?
Probably not fast enough to help us, though. That's the bad part.
Yeah. Are you Dave or Dan?
Yeah. I don't think it makes much difference at this point. We're both of us are number one, but we already said that.
We did?
Or did we already?
Not making fun by any means. That's I don't know if you and I have talked about this or not, but with most diseases, be it cancer or be it Alzheimer's or anything, you know, the part that most, if not all, patients, and I'm sure the gentleman that you just described is the same, and his love for music and his family's love for what he had done in the past, you know, they prompted to, let's get this down, let's get it on paper. But what I started to say is the effects on the family. I know a situation here where this was a fairly young man in his 50s that, you know, they it was quite shocking. He was with one of his employees, and they were driving back from lunch, and he said, "How do I get back to the office?" And that was the first sign of he just didn't know where he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, and shortly thereafter, they started having him checked, and, you know, and sure enough, he had the onset of Alzheimer's, and it went, and I guess they're different levels or something, but he went very fast from being okay to they had to put him in a home. And, you know, it's the effect and everything on the family. It's not just the patient themselves, but the families are put through so much. And I know this family in this case, and he was so young that, as far as I know, he's still alive. And years and years and years. With that being said, we got to take our final break. You're listening to the Dan and Dave Show, numero uno with Googles. If you, I don't know if what you have to Google, but if you Google Dan and Dave, we'll come up. We'll be back right after this.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation, Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Dan and Dave show. I give you double credit there, Dan. Dan and Dave. Does that make you feel better?
It does. I'll feel better when I cash that big check you sent me. I know you sent it to me because you said you did. Hello?
Who are you?
We must have lost the Dave connection.
Who are you? How do we know each other? I've never known a Dan in my life.
Yeah.
You just keep thinking about it, partner. And, you wish in one hand and...
Yeah, well, we don't need to go there, do we?
No.
I did get my new business cards in, though. I know that you've anxiously been waiting for me to tell you that.
For which business?
Well, this just says my name on it. Oh, and it also has a nice quote by Tony Robbins. You know Tony Robbins.
Sure, I know Tony.
And he says, how am I going to live today in order to create the tomorrow I'm committed to? I hate people like that.
He's a big sucker.
He's a big, he's rich. He's getting richer.
Yeah. Richer. He's just like you, I think, didn't you give him his start?
Well, I was a Tony Robbins fan 10, 15 years ago, so maybe I did give him his start. He's actually been doing it longer than that, I believe.
I know. He's been around for a while.
But he's passionate. He was in Portland not too long ago. And he got rave reviews. They said, man, that guy puts out a lot of energy when he's on the stage.
You didn't go?
I did not go. No. No, I just let... Tony invited me. He said we could do the Dan and Tony show, but I said, no, I'm already committed. I'm in a single relationship here to the Dan and Dave show. I couldn't do a Dan and Tony show.
Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, he said that Dave guy must be a big, powerful guy. He must be tall and strong. And I said, well...
Not exactly.
Sort of. But he works out almost once a week or so.
No, I did pretty good. I worked out Saturday, Sunday, and plan on going home, and depending on when the air conditioning guy gets there, working out today. You know, I don't know about you or other people that work out. I used to be a lot more religious about working out when we belonged to the country club than I am when I go downstairs. And yet I'm doing some of the... basics, basically the same thing, not totally, but And there's something about having people around you doing it, exercising, and, you know, you can chat. I chat with the television generally. But, you know, I don't know of anybody, and I may be wrong, but I don't know of anybody that goes to work out that in the back of their mind they're saying, "God, I hate doing this," or "I don't want to do this today," or they have a hesitation. But at the same token, I don't know anybody, or many people anyway, that are not like me, that once you get started, hey, this feels pretty good, you know, and when you get through doing whatever you're doing, and you get off and you're hot and sweaty and you're saying, you know, I feel pretty good now. I'm glad I did that. So it's a very mixed emotion about working out.
I'm glad you did it. But, you know, the body's made for motion. It's made to be used.
Locomotion.
And, darned arthritis gets involved, and, you know, a lot of us stop our motion, and then the arthritis takes over a little bit more.
Yeah, I wonder.
The best thing we can do is to fight it, keep it going, keep our bodies moving.
Both of us are getting very close, if we're not already there, to the age of retirement. And I've got not so many, but a number of friends that are a few years older than I am, much better off than I am money-wise, but that have retired. And, boy, it just seems like, you know, now that they're retired, they've moved next door to their doctor's office. There's always something wrong, it seems. And I've had enough wrong recently that, my God, if I was retired, I'd already be stretched on the underground. But I don't know. I think you hit it on the head. You need to keep going, doing something. And I think the happiest people are the ones that keep working in some shape, form, or fashion, as well as exercising and keeping their goer going.
Well, I certainly agree. And I agree with your observation. The people I know that have retired are their doctor's best friends now.
Yeah.
So we're lucky. We're going to work. We're going to use it. We don't want to lose it. We're going to use it.
When the temporary help at the doctor's office knows you by your first name, you got a problem.
Yeah, and when you call them by their first name, you got a problem too.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And you can relate stories about their family and your family, and you're seeing them obviously too much, without question.
So are we committing, are we signing a new 5-year contract on the Dan and Dave show? Is that what we're talking about?
5 minutes, or you said 5 years, maybe 5 months. Might be stretching it. I don't know.
Just a five. It's a five concept.
It's a five concept.
Year,
yeah.
I misspoke.
Well, we'll figure on five something, weeks, months, years, whatever. Well, you know, the bottom line is it's really not in our hands anyway. That's something I meant to bring up. You probably weren't a heathen. I was a heathen yesterday, and there's a couple of reasons. One, I don't like to be the hypocrite that goes on. Somebody had the term Christer, the people that go to church on Christmas and Easter. So I didn't want to be one of them, and we didn't go to church. And I'm quite frankly, I miss it. But anyway, my point being is, and it may have just been me, and I didn't sit in front of television all day yesterday, but it seems to me like Christian is becoming a better word and is being more recognized. I can't speak for any place else except the U.S., but I feel like Christian is, you know, there was a time that Easter was almost overlooked by our quote-unquote media. Not totally, by any means, but it seemed like yesterday there was more, and just a feeling of a better feeling in the United States. I don't know if I'm coming across right with that, but I was very uplifted to see more and more, or what I was watching anyway, seemed to be more religious than it's been in the past.
No, I didn't catch that. I didn't see anything on TV yesterday. I, you know, normally you might watch 60 Minutes at night, but we had family over and a very nice ham traditional, at least traditional for us, Easter dinner. And us old guys sat around the table and chatted, and the young kids went into the front room and laughed and, you know, had a great time. It reminded me of when I was the age of the young kid with cousins around, and we would go out and, you know, tear up the neighborhood or play games or do
whatever. Well, I know at 15 you were still hunting the Easter eggs.
You bet.
You know, you wanted
never gave up on the Easter eggs.
You wanted your basket filled with Easter eggs and chocolate, and you always ate the bigger ear off the Easter bunny, the chocolate Easter bunny.
How'd you know that?
Your mom.
Oh yeah, the ear was the best part of that bunny. I tell you, tender, juicy. Love the ear.
Did your parents? Well, you were living on a farm, so it would have sort of made sense. But, you know, the kids that got either bunnies for Christmas, live bunnies, or chickens for Easter. Did you all ever do that number?
No. No. We had plenty of animals. We didn't have to go looking for them. Yeah.
Yeah, we got... My sister and I got chickens, little bitty chickens, and okay, so now we got them, what do you do with them? And the disposition, disposal of, was always interesting, I guess. I don't know. But many a chicken is given and many a chicken is taken away, I guess, at some point or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, pickle chicken business.
So,
yeah.
That was Easter. Well, I'm glad you had. That's good that you had a big family over. We used to do that when there was family around, and we'd always have the big Easter egg hunt after lunch, and everybody had gone to church and all this kind of thing, and then you come over and you have the big Easter dinner and big Easter egg hunt and all of that stuff. I guess, and family traditions, unfortunately, I don't think there are as many as there used to be, but that was the entertainment many years ago, you know, was the whole family getting together and everybody slapping everybody on the back, and there you went. It was good.
Yep. And if you look on my Facebook page, you'll see the lamb cake that my wife does every year. She does a lamb cake and decorates it, and it's kind of pretty.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's become her tradition.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, we ate it.
Well, with that being said, Dan, it's time to put the plug in the jug. Get out of here. Get ready for Kurt Sumner and the NSPS Hour, which, by the way, is number one on Google's. If you Google land surveying or land surveying radio, web radio, it's number one, and Kurt does a heck of a job, does a very good job, and we will be talking with him momentarily. So with that being said, we got to get out of here. Take care, Dan.
Yep, tell Kurt, give Kurt my best. See you, Dave.